So our first case this morning is Raymond Roan versus the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, 2021-2187. Mr. Doyakis. Did I pronounce it correctly?
Dohakis, Your Honor.
Dohakis.
Good morning, and may it please the Court. On behalf of Mr. Roan, I thank this Court for the opportunity to present his appeal. Mr. Roan asked this Court to consider two statutes, 38 U.S.C. 5107B and 7261B1. 5107B states when there's an approximate balance of positive and negative evidence regarding any issue material to determination of the matter, the Secretary shall give the benefit of the doubt to the claimant. 7261B1 says, in making determinations under subsection A, the Veterans Court shall review the record of proceedings and shall take due account of the Secretary's application of Section 5107B.
Counsel, do we have jurisdiction over this appeal? Isn't that simply an application of law to fact?
No, Your Honor. We are not, Mr. Roan does not challenge the determination to affirm the Board's decision. What Mr. Roan is asking this Court to do is look at the way that 5107B was used and the proper interpretation of that statute when the Veterans Court reviews the Board's interpretation or application of 5107B. And primarily what Mr. Roan asked this Court to do is to read 5107B to require that rather than summarize the evidence as the Board did here, it must identify the positive and negative evidence. Otherwise, it is impossible for the Veterans Court to review the Board's determination.
Well, that requirement isn't in the statute.
It does not explicitly say that, Your Honor. But as we argued in our brief, in order to review and take due account of the application of that statute, the Veterans Court allowed the Board to simply summarize the evidence as opposed to balancing the positive and negative evidence. There's no findings from the Board with respect.
How do we know that the Veterans Court didn't understand the Board as balancing the evidence? Didn't the Veterans Court look at this and say, it looks like they took account of the benefit of the doubt rule?
The Veterans Court did make that finding, Your Honor. However, I point you to page 6 of the appendix, and the Court is not persuaded that the Board misapplied the benefit of the doubt. And then it says, the Board in this case summarized the evidence, determined that despite the physical limitations, that he is not precluded from employment, and...
Well, that sure sounds to me like they're looking at the way the Board's balancing it. They're looking at his limitations and the other evidence about what type of meaningful employment he can do, and they're finding no error in the Board's application. And beyond that, I mean, what do we have to review there? You agree that we can't review the Court's determination that the Board has applied this or not. That's an application of law to fact that we don't have jurisdiction over.
Yes, Your Honor.
And the Board's determination that there isn't, that the benefit of a doubt rule doesn't apply is at least an application of law to fact, if not a purely factual question. So what is there for us to review?
So, Your Honor, the primary question is the way in which the Veterans
are you pinning all your arguments on the notion that we should import into 5107 a requirement that the Board specifically tally up evidence and say this is positive, this is negative, this is neutral?
Absolutely, Your Honor.
Well, that's really hard, isn't it? I mean, it's not in the statute. You didn't say anything in the legislative history that suggested that's what has to happen. Congress has just directed the Secretary to apply a benefit of the doubt rule and has left it to the Secretary to define what the content of that is. How can we impose a different kind of rules system on that if Congress hasn't spoken?
The authority for that, Your Honor, is in 7261B1, where Congress directed the Veterans Court to take due account of the Secretary's application of the statute. And our argument is that unless the Board does
I get that argument, but isn't there already a procedure for that? If the Veterans Court finds that the board's explanation is insufficient, then it sends it back on a reasons and basis remand, right? I mean, that happens all the time when the Veterans Court finds that the board's explanation is insufficient. It determines that there's not a sufficient reasons and basis and remands for the board to explain itself. If it had found that problem here, it could have done that, right?
It could have, Your Honor, except that under the interpretation that the Veterans Court applied, it allowed the board to simply summarize the evidence as opposed to identifying the positive and negative evidence. There's no determination from the board.
Well,
that
the Veterans Court has a problem with the way the board doesn't, shouldn't your argument be directed to the Veterans Court? Maybe if they establish in their precedent a rule that you have to do this, that might stand up. I have a feeling the government would appeal that. But, you know, I mean, I don't understand. If the Veterans Court didn't have a problem here in the way the board applied 5261 and found that the record was sufficient for it to make a determination under, sorry, I'm getting the statutes mixed up,
aren't I?
50-something and 7261. Yes. If it found it sufficient under 7261 to review the board, then who are we to impose further requirements?
Because, Your Honor, in order to apply the statute correctly, and in order to fulfill its mandate from Congress to take due account of the application of 5107B, there has to be a determination from the agency for the court to review.
But there was. This is the problem, is the board did take account. The Veterans Court found its explanation sufficient, and it affirmed.
It affirmed, Your Honor, but it did so by accepting a summary of the evidence that did not tell anyone this is positive, this is negative, or at least give some indication that the board considered some evidence
really
positive or some
evidence
negative.
I don't even really understand that. I mean, didn't the board explain that here are his disabilities, which are presumably positive for him, but yet there's evidence showing that he can work, which is presumably negative? Are you really just saying they didn't put a little check mark and say positive and a little check, you know, a negative mark and say negative?
Yes, Your Honor. And we think that 5107B requires that because the Veterans Court reviews determinations from the board. They cannot surmise or guess what the board meant when it summarizes evidence. The Veterans Court can only review the...
Well, that sentence you were about ready to read to us of the summary pretty much tells the Veterans Court what the board thought, which was, here's what we think is in support of him, and here's why we're not going to give him benefits, because he still can work.
And that's one way to read it, Your Honor, but we don't know
What's the other way to read it?
Well, the other way is that the problem with what the board did and what the Veterans Court allowed it to do is that we don't know how much is on each side. The statute is very clear that we have to balance the evidence. And the board made a finding, which was the Veterans Court affirmed.
I mean, but you're not talking about actually tallying up and say, here are three pieces in favor and three pieces in disfavor, and therefore it's, you know, give them the benefit of the doubt. I mean, didn't we just address what it meant to apply the benefit of the doubt rule in an en banc case? And isn't it, I mean, you know that case, right?
Yes,
it has a standard that's not particularly quantitative.
Well, and this correct standard wasn't used here, but you're not arguing that. You're not complaining about the use of the preponderance.
No, Your Honor. And we recognize that in Lynch that the terminology changed, but we don't have a problem with what the board did with that respect. Our biggest complaint with the board's decision and what the Veterans Court allowed it to do was that we can't be certain, and the Veterans Court can't be certain, that the board properly applied 5107B by simply summarizing the evidence.
Well, what's happening now at the board and the Veterans Court? Have they discarded the preponderance standard?
In a handful of memorandum decisions, Your Honor, the Veterans Court has said, and most appellants that I've seen at least have agreed, that when the board uses preponderance, it generally equates to what Lynch described as a persuasive.
They're still using it?
Some board decisions were prior to Lynch.
I don't
think the board today, unless it sneaks past one of the board members, Your Honor, but they've gotten the message that preponderance of the evidence. Keep in mind, this board decision was done some years ago prior to Lynch, so they were still using the preponderance standard. But again, our biggest issue with what the board did is that it didn't give enough information to the Veterans Court to allow it to perform its role under 7261B1.
They have the record. They can see whether the evidence was an approximate balance or not. Why do they need the board to give them a roadmap?
Because whether evidence is positive or negative, Your Honor, is a factual matter. And under 7261C, the court can only review factual matters for clear error. It cannot do so de novo. And so, by summarizing the evidence, the board doesn't give enough information.
Isn't an approximate balance test a factual determination?
It is, Your Honor. But before we can look at balancing the evidence, we have to know what the evidence supports. Is it positive or is it negative? And here the board never told us that. It again, summarized the evidence. And so what the court is now doing, the Veterans Court was doing under its interpretation of the statute, was gleaning from their summary, yes, we think that the board thought this was positive and we think this was negative, and therefore we're going to affirm.
And for us to review that, it sounds like application of law to fact.
No, Your Honor. We are not asking this court to disturb the finding that the Veterans Court. We're not asking this court to review the Veterans Court's ultimate finding. What we're asking this court to do is to look at the legal standard
to see whether they did consider the positives and the negatives. We would have to apply the law to the facts, wouldn't we?
Yes, Your Honor, but again, that's not what we're asking this court to do. All we're asking this court to do is to look at 5107B.
What if we think the board actually already has done what you're asking us to do, which is the board has looked at the evidence of the record, they've described it, and in their description, you can infer what they characterize as positive and what they characterize as negative.
My response to that first, Your Honor, is that an inference is not a review of a finding. And so even though in some instances the court may do that, but not in a under 7261C. The board has to make the determination, and the court is not permitted by its statute to infer what they think the board might have thought when it summarized the evidence. And so, again, the interpretation of 5107B should be read.
It really sounds to me like if you want this rule imposed, you should ask the secretary for rulemaking on this effect or go to Congress. I mean, it's nowhere in either of these statutes that it specifically lays out this tallying up of, you know, negative and positive. It's more general. It's, you know, you apply the benefit of the doubt rule, and it leaves it to the secretary to define what the content of that is.
That may be, Your Honor, but and I'll save the rest for rebuttal, but I think that inherent in deciding whether the positive and negative evidence is in balance, you have to define it, or at least identify it.
We will give you your full rebuttal time of 3 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Bay.
May it please the Court.
Do you agree that the board and the Veterans Court have now abandoned the preponderance standard that we told them to get rid of?
I agree that this Court's decision in Lynch, which clarified Ortiz and decided that the persuaded by language should be used instead of the preponderance language, is something that...
I don't think that's quite an accurate description of Lynch. What it said is you shouldn't use the preponderance standard. You should be looking to approximate balance.
I think looking at Lynch, this Court said that Ortiz correctly established that the benefit of the doubt rule does not apply when a fact finder is persuaded by the evidence, and that Ortiz also made clear that under its formulation, a finding by the preponderance of the evidence reflects that the board has been persuaded. So, and I think as Mr. Duhakis...
Okay, but my question was, have they abandoned the preponderance standard? Have you stopped arguing for the preponderance standard?
I think that As Mr. Dohakis notes, that the board and the Veterans Court have started using the persuaded by language, but we think that in Lynch it basically said that Ortiz understood that the preponderance of the evidence standard reflects that the board has been persuaded. So it's not that they abandoned the standard exactly, but they are tailoring the language to reflect this court's decision in Lynch.
It would be nice if they did what the statute told them to do, which is to decide whether it's an approximate balance.
Well, I think that's what the board has done and the Veterans Court has done and is doing right now. As Mr. Dohakis and this court noted, the board used the preponderance of the evidence language because its decision came out prior to this court's decision in Lynch. However, again, the court in Lynch said that Ortiz made clear that a finding by preponderance of the evidence reflects that the board has been persuaded. So in our position is that the board, by using the preponderance of evidence standard, was persuaded. And the Veterans Court also used the language not persuaded that the board misapplied the benefit of the doubt rule. We do think that this court should, in the first instance, dismiss Mr. Roan's appeal, either for failure to exhaust or lack of jurisdiction. We did address the jurisdictional issue exhaustively in our brief. We did also address the failure to raise the arguments below. We do note that Mr. Roan did not address those arguments in his reply brief. Moving to just a few points on the merits.
Well, can I ask you this? Isn't the argument he's making about requiring the board to tally up what's positive and negative, isn't that a pure legal interpretation of the statute?
We think that the way that Mr. Roan is framing the arguments regarding 5107 and 7261, they are framed as asking for legal interpretations of the statute. But
which is what we would normally have jurisdiction over.
It's what the court would normally have jurisdiction over, but I think the court noted, and we noted in our briefs, there's a few problems with this. First, the Veterans Court did not make an interpretation of 5107 or 7262.
Was this argument presented to them?
No, that was going to be my next point. They would not have had the reason to because Mr. Roan didn't develop those arguments. He did cite the statutes in his brief. We acknowledge that. But he basically just cited the language and then said that the board's explanation wasn't enough. He certainly didn't raise the argument regarding a checklist of positive and negative or that the board or that the Veterans Court should conduct a de novo review.
But he's right about the process in a sense, that what the board should be doing is coding up the evidence on each side and deciding whether it's an approximate balance. So what he's arguing for in the next step is that they have to articulate that weighing in detail in the opinion seems not to be in the statute. But in terms of summing up the evidence on each side and considering it approximate balance, that's what they're supposed to do, right?
That the board is supposed to take account of the positive and negative evidence and determine whether it's an approximate balance such that the benefit of the doubt rule should apply. But again, that's not what Mr. Roan is asking here, and that's not what the board failed to do. What Mr. Roan is asking, as you said, is for that additional step where they have to specifically tally evidence as positive or negative. I think as Judge Hughes pointed out, you know, say three pieces of positive, three pieces of negative, oh, maybe that's approximate balance. First of all, I think that's an issue for a case later this week in Maddox versus McDonough. But again, as I think Judge Hughes noted, that's simply not
later
written.
This week, what's happening later this week?
Excuse me?
What's happening later this week?
There is a case, I think, called Maddox versus McDonough, where I think that the same law firm that's arguing here is arguing that that if there's the same amount of pieces of evidence on both sides, that should be considered an approximate balance, regardless of whether the persuasiveness of each piece of evidence.
You mean the sheer numbers, like two doctors' opinion on this side, two doctors' opinion on this side, and that's approximate balance?
I think that's what they're arguing in Maddox.
Okay.
I'm not counsel in that case, so my knowledge is cursory, but that's my understanding. But again, I think this court's decision in Ferguson and Deloach foreclosed Mr. Roan's argument. Specifically,
can I just get you back to the jurisdictional point on this? Because you I think framed a certain way, there is a legal interpretation. But it is your point, I think you were getting there, and then you got questions, is that that interpretation wasn't raised or wasn't relied upon by the Veterans Court, so it doesn't come within our jurisdictional statute, which is to review legal questions relied upon by the Veterans Court.
Right. I think that the failure to raise these arguments and put the court on notice that it should be responding to them both deprives this court of jurisdiction in the sense that Your Honor mentions and presents a waiver question as well.
Well, that's my question, is how do we determine whether it was sufficiently relied upon to be within our jurisdiction but then forfeited? What's the line between not relied upon or forfeited?
I think it
does matter here, because it matters as to whether we have jurisdiction and then conclude he's forfeited it, assuming we're going this way, or whether there's no jurisdiction because it wasn't relied on.
I think that to an extent, obviously, these issues in waiver versus jurisdiction are intertwined in this particular case, but I think that this court does not have jurisdiction because Mr. Roan didn't raise, and therefore the CAVC did not interpret 5107 or 7262. But alternatively, if this court finds that it does have jurisdiction because they're legal questions, Mr. Roan still failed to raise them to put the court on notice, and therefore waiver should apply. So I think our argument is, in the first instance, there's no jurisdiction, but even if there is, prudential reasons do not favor hearing the arguments because Mr. Roan didn't raise them below.
Okay. Has the Board of Veterans' Appeals ever decided a case on the ground that the evidence is an approximate balance and therefore the veteran wins?
I'm not incredibly familiar with the Board's specific decisions on when they have found
You're
that
not
they're...
aware of any such case.
I'm not aware of one way or the other. I'm sure the Board must have decided cases where they found approximate balance and therefore...
I've never heard of one.
I'm not aware of that. I can, of course, go back and check if the Court likes, but I would have assumed that at some point in its history the Board would have addressed it. In that case, I would assume that the veteran would not have appealed it, and the government can't appeal from those types of decisions, so that may be why it hasn't come in front of this Court before. I do just want to note very quickly that this court in Ferguson did hold that the language of 5107B is ambiguous, and therefore there should be no further interpretation needed of whether what Mr. Duhakis is arguing is appropriate. But even if it were ambiguous, it's just certainly not appropriate to essentially write in the language of a regulation such that appellant is asking. Finally, I'll just quickly note that this court's decision in Deloach should foreclose the merits of appellant 7261 argument, because the court in that case appeared to expressly disagree with the appellant's argument that the Veterans Court has the duty to independently weigh the evidence to determine whether the board's factual findings are clearly erroneous. Accordingly, and unless this court has any other questions, we respectfully request that this court dismiss or affirm. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Duhakis has 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Has there ever been a case in which the board has found that the evidence was an approximate balance in the Veterans Court?
It does occasionally happen, Your Honor. However, I will say in my experience, representing hundreds of veterans, the typical course is that when we note that the evidence is an approximate balance, the board will order additional development, and then naturally the VA exams come back and as unfavorable. And that's a great point as to why 5107B should be interpreted to require the board to identify the positive and negative evidence. Because until they do that, we don't know whether they're properly applying the benefit of the doubt or properly determining that the evidence persuasively weighs against the veteran. To your point again, Judge Dyke, it is the Veterans Court, and we need to be confident that the Veterans Court and the board are properly applying the preponderance of the evidence, the benefit of the doubt standard. And we cannot do that until they identify the positive and negative evidence. With respect to the jurisdiction, I want to point out first that Ferguson, as we pointed out in our reply brief, predated this court's jurisdictional amendments, which went from a issue to case jurisdiction. And so this court's jurisdiction is allows it to review a rule of law that the Veterans Court relied upon. And we, again, assert that because the Veterans Court allowed a summary of the evidence as opposed to identification of positive and negative evidence, it relied upon an interpretation of 5107B that requires this court's input as to what does it really require.
So if we agree with you that we have jurisdiction, why haven't you forfeited this argument? Because it's an argument that should have been made to the Veterans Court about requirements the Veterans Court should be imposing.
Typically, yes, Your Honor, but again, I think that the court's jurisdiction as identified in
4C. I'm not talking about jurisdiction now. Let's just assume you're right that because of the case jurisdiction and because they relied upon the statute that implicitly relied on an interpretation that you're not taking issue with. You didn't make these arguments below, right?
Not to this detail, Your Honor, but the appellant did argue to the Veterans Court that the board.
Appellant argued that the Veterans Court misapplied it, and the court said no.
Well, they did.
You didn't make the specific argument about identifying positives and negatives. So why isn't that forfeited?
Because the Veterans Court reviewed and made the determination.
That's not a forfeiture question. That's a jurisdictional question.
Yes,
you understand the forfeiture rule, I know. Why isn't forfeited when you did not make this specific argument to the Veterans Court? Particularly because it's about a legal interpretation that you want the Veterans Court to impose for its own benefit. Shouldn't it decide whether it's necessary, not us?
Certainly, Your Honor. I mean, in order
for... Why didn't you make it to the Veterans Court?
I don't have an answer for that, Your Honor. Obviously, I wasn't counsel there. But I do think that because the Veterans Court did rely... Again, I'll just rest on the notion that the Veterans Court relied upon an interpretation that permits them to affirm a determination that a summary of the evidence is sufficient to allow it to perform its review under 7261B1. And without a determination as to which evidence is positive or negative, the Veterans Court is left to guess what the board actually wanted. And I see that my time is up.
Do you have a final thought?
Just again, Your Honor, we think that we ask this court to interpret the 5107B to require the VA to identify the positive and negative evidence. In order to permit the Veterans Court review under 7261B1. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. We appreciate both arguments. The case will be taken under submission.